God is doing good things in Miracle Life is a light to East Africa, making a difference. All right. We're going to take some time in the next few weeks, and we are going to walk our way through the book of Galatians, the book of Galatians. And in the New Testament, the epistles are written to believers. And so they have an incredible importance and significance in the life of a Christian. And so when we understand the life of David and what he did, and we can learn lessons, and we can see good and bad, we can go to the prophetic scriptures of the Old Testament, and we can see Jesus. And so all those scriptures are vital and important, and they help us. But the epistles are unique in the scripture because they are written directly to you. They're written to born again, New Testament, Spirit-filled believers. And what we see is that many of the epistles were written around certain issues, certain hot topics, or even problems that were occurring in those churches. And it's so amazing that over 2,000 years later, we see that the issues are still with us. And they are still relevant for us. Now, so we're gonna go through the book of Galatians. Now, what I want to be, what I want to implore you and encourage you is, if you miss a Sunday, a tornado hits your house or something like that. Amen. I do see there are some football matches scheduled on Sundays coming up. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. All right. So, but if you have to miss a Sunday, I want to implore you, especially with this series, get the CD in the bookshop. They're very, very cheap. Or you can download it on the internet if that works for you. Because an epistle that is written, and you're going to see that as we go through the book of Galatians, there are certain scriptures that you're like, oh, wow, yeah, I've always heard about that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, right? But the book of Galatians was not meant just to pick out a scripture here or two, but it was written as one entire letter. Okay, so if you received a letter from a family member or your spouse, you would read it from front to the end, wouldn't you? Because that's the only way that you're going to get the full message of what is intended. Okay, so we're going to take a number of weeks to do this. But don't miss a Sunday. All right. Again, if you do, make sure that you catch up, because you're not going to get the whole message that the Holy Spirit was giving to this group of churches. All right. Now, when we start off in the book of Galatians, which we will, it's very unique because Paul just starts off right away. And he kind of says hi. He greets them and he says, I am amazed. I'm shocked at how foolish you are. So that was kind of how Paul did things, all right? So he forgot to go to the Dale Carnegie class of how to win friends and influence people, all right? And especially, so Paul wrote this out of love, but there was something that was really bothering him. And we'll understand why, and we'll understand why that does bother the heart of God, and it might really apply to us today as well, and it certainly will. So when we start the book of Galatians, it seems like we're picking up kind of in the middle of a movie. How many of you ever started a movie halfway through, and you're like, I have no idea what's going on? So if you started a movie and somebody was kind of arguing, you're like, what are they arguing about? Well, it's good to have some background to the book of Galatians because it will help us understand what was going on. All right. So Galatia was not a city, but it was a region. All right. It was a region of Asia where Paul had been. He had actually gone there twice. Okay. And so Paul was the first one to ever represent the gospel to these people. All right. He was the founding apostle. So when they heard the gospel, they heard it first from Paul, all right? And this was in Acts chapter 16. Verse 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now, after they made that first visit, they made a subsequent visit in Acts 18. When they had landed at Caesarea, this is verse 22, and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch, and he had spent some time there. He departed and went over to the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order to strengthen all the disciples. So there was the initial presentation of the gospel, which some received. These were Gentiles. These were idol worshipers. So they received this, the gospel of Jesus. Then Paul went back a few years later, and he went there to strengthen them. He went there to build them up some more. All right. So these were people that were very dear to him. He was involved in the early part of their life. All right. But what had happened in Galatia? So Paul had gone there and he had gone back there, but there were other people who had made visits to Galatia. All right. Now, in these days, and maybe it was kind of a good thing, is that when other people, other Christians or other teachers or apostles or people would come, they would have to physically go there and they would have to physically speak and you would have to listen. All right. Now, in our day and age, people can come and visit you on your TV, on Facebook. They can visit you on the prophetic channel, or the apostolic channel, or the Jesus channel, or the God. They can visit you in a variety of ways. They can visit you on Facebook. All right, we're about to go into the month of June, and certainly in the month of June, somebody's going to say, June is your month of breakthrough. Just type amen. This is your year. This is your month of marriage. Just type amen. Ooh, good Lord, if you don't know him on June 1st, you better not marry him on June 30th. All right. Regardless of whether you say amen or oh me, okay? So today, we have a lot of different avenues that can come into our life, all right? And that can be good, and it can be very harmful, all right? And so what happened is that there were a group of people called the Judaizers, and they were bringing a message that Paul had not preached. They were bringing a message that was different than the gospel he presented to them. And the church at Galatia accepted it. They bought into it. All right. And so really Paul is going to make a case like a lawyer. All right. If you look at the writings of Paul, he could have been a state counsel. All right. He had an incredible mind. And he would go through logically and present it, tie it up, and just kick the goal. I mean, he would just hammer it. All right. And so this is what he does to this church. But one of the things that for us today that is so important is that we need to know the truth of God for ourselves. We need to know the Bible for ourselves. And because we have all these avenues that come into our life where we can hear Christian things presented, you and I need to be able to discern the biblical from the unbiblical. All right? And at Miracle Life, we certainly want to help you with that, but we really can't do it for you. You're going to have to sniff your own food. All right. We had some loss of power at our house this week and everything. And so I was making coffee yesterday and got out the milk and it didn't pass the sniff test. Oh, Jesus. All right. So you have to be careful what you eat. You have to be careful what you put into your heart. And I would say far more than what you put into your body. All right, because that might only last a few days. You may suffer for a few days. I remember one time years and years and years ago, we were doing a funeral at Old Leopard's Hill, and somebody was selling water, and I was about to drink the water, and somebody said, Pastor, it's not sealed. They just took an old bottle and filled it up with stream water. Don't drink that, Pastor. Well, I was really thirsty, so I didn't. But thank God somebody warned me. Okay. But what we put into our heart and what we put into our mind about God and the Bible, oh boy, it can make you sick. All right. And that's what happened to the church at Galatia. So these were a group of Jewish believers. All right. So meaning they accepted Jesus. They were born again, but their background, their lifestyle before they were born again, they were raised Jewish. All right. So, they were, adherence to the law, and they had gone through all those things, and all these things were vital and important. They were part of their belief system. They were part of their culture. All right. They were part of the fabric of their heart and of their mind. And so they could not believe that there were these believers, used to be idol worshipers, and they were eating pork. God forbid. And worst of all, the men were uncircumcised. Because in the old covenant, you had to do that. It was a sign that we were God's people. And so they came behind them and they said, we know what Paul preached. And they also began to undermine Paul's authority. He thinks he's not actually really an apostle. Because when they undermined his authority, they also undermined his message. And they said, all right. And they began to tell him, and they said, all right, all you men, if you're following Jesus, you have to be circumcised. All right. Their message was this: Jesus plus circumcision. Jesus plus something equals salvation. Paul's message was Jesus plus nil equals salvation. Put your faith in what Jesus did. That makes you born again, and then you live a life out of that. All right. So, the Judaizers did not accept Paul's message, and they were fighting against his message. Now, why did they do that? It was because of their background. All right. And because of their background, and they were solely firmly entrenched in their Jewishness, that they couldn't accept fully this new message. All right. How many of you know Peter did the same thing, didn't he? Peter had a hard time believing that God would love Gentiles, people outside of the Jewish life, all right? And so God had to take him to a rooftop, and he gave him a vision, and he said, eat lobster, eat crab, have pork ribs. And Peter said, that stuff has never touched my lips. It's unclean. And he wasn't just giving him a lesson about diet, although I am so glad we can eat pork now. All right. Hashtag believers eat bacon. All right. God was saying, stop calling unclean what I've cleansed. God wanted to use Peter to reach the Gentiles. In fact, there was a setup in Acts chapter 10, and he was getting him ready to go to this house, Cornelius's house. And God just kind of bypassed. Peter was preaching a good sermon, and God says, I don't even know if he's going to have an altar call. So and the Holy Ghost fell while Peter yet spoke. And they were born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues during the sermon. All right? And Peter's like, what? And he went back to Jerusalem and reported all these things. And they got together and they said, okay, well, no, we don't need to, the Gentiles don't need to be circumcised. They've got Jesus. That's enough. All right. Well, the Judaizers said, no. We don't believe Paul. We don't believe Peter. We don't believe the Jerusalem Council. And we are going to impose this upon them. And this happens when the gospel is mixed with tradition. All right. Some of you may or may not know this, but Bible historians and church people who understand, even in Zambia, this happened with the first Scottish missionaries that came to Zambia. All right. When you look at the Bible, when did people get baptized in water in the New Testament? On the same day that they were born again. The Ethiopian eunuch, he received the Lord with Philip, and Philip said, where's some water? Well, let's go find some body of water. And he got baptized right on the spot. In Ephesus, these people who were idol worshippers, they were baptized in water. And then after the baptism, they brought their items of witchcraft. That means they were baptized in water when they still had witchcraft items at their house. Okay? For real. All right? And so the first Scottish missionaries that came to Zambia, they would make you wait years to be baptized until you looked like a Scottish Christian. Yeah, for real. All right? And, we could say the effects of colonization, and that's a whole nother story of political science, but whoa, the effects of Judaizers are troubling. All right. So they wouldn't let them be water baptized. They wouldn't let them to have full community in the church until we decided, okay, now you look like a Christian the way we think a Christian looks like. All right. And so when we mix that stuff, we get into a lot of trouble. And so today we can berate the Scottish missionaries, or we can take this home to ourselves in 2017 at Miracle Life. Because sometimes people come up to me and they say, Pastor, come here. Pastor, why don't we have a church uniform? Because it's unbiblical. That is why. Now, if you want to wear red or blue or pink, I don't care whatever color you want to wear. My interpreter in Kenya, he had a purple vest and purple pants. Hallelujah. If you can't wear purple, have an interpreter that can wear purple. That's how I roll. Okay. And of course, I was wearing navy blue. All right. It was awesome. Yeah. So people, Pastor, we need a church uniform. We need a church uniform. Well, why? Because that's what a Christian does. Really? Who says? Not the Bible. Because that's my religious mindset. That's what a Christian looks like. In the old church, this was a long time ago. I don't see him today. I see his spiritual son, Patrick. But our sound guy, Ian Chitundu, wonderful family. But he was wearing dreadlocks. Still is, you know. And somebody said, Pastor, how dare you? How dare you let a young man be on the stage with dreadlocks? He's not a Rastafarian. He doesn't smoke marijuana. He loves Jesus, always has. How dare you? That is it's not right. Who says it's not right? Okay, now, as you can tell, it is not my style of hair. Oh God, it's not my style of hair. But I can't use the Bible to tell you don't wear dreadlocks. If you're mad right now, you've just tested positive for Judaizer. Yeah? Yep. Yep. It's hair. And as far as, Patrick, it's your own hair, right? You're not even borrowing somebody else's hair. Okay? It's your own hair. It's just how you want to wear it.
But it's not Christian. Arr,
as far as you say. Right? So we make church uniform, hairstyle. Huh? Now, are there biblical principles?
Well, we shouldn't be worldly. Worldly.
Well, who determines what's worldly? Right? In Scotland, and in Mongu, men wear skirts. Yeah. Not mini skirts. Right? Well, see, this is what happens. And I love what Philip Yancey says in What's So Amazing Grace. He makes this statement. Man is irreversibly religious. Irreversibly. And as soon as you get the good news of Jesus and the freedom of Jesus, and really Galatians is a treatise on freedom and how to live responsibly in that freedom. Because we don't live selfishly, we don't live sinfully, we don't live foolishly, all right? But we use that freedom to promote the kingdom of God and to bless other people, all right? Let me read to you just a little bit here. The intro to Galatians from the Message Bible. Eugene Peterson, wonderful scholar, PhD guy, awesome guy. Was also a pastor, Presbyterian pastor. He says this. Through Jesus, Paul learned that God was not an impersonal force to be used to make people behave in certain prescribed ways, but a personal savior who sets us free to live a free life. God did not coerce us from without. He set us free from within. It was a glorious experience. Paul telling off others and telling others, introducing and inviting everyone he met into this free life. In his early travels, he found a series of churches in the Roman province of Galatia. A few years later, Paul learned that religious leaders of the old school had come into those churches, called his views and authorities into question, and were reintroducing old ways, herding all those freedom-loving Christians back into the corral of religious rules and regulations. Paul was, of course, furious. He was furious with the old guard for coming in with their strong-arm religious tactics and intimidating the Christians into giving up their free life in Jesus. But he was also furious with the Christians for caving in to their intimidations. His letter to the Galatian churches helps them and helps us recover the original freedom. It gives us direction in the nature of God's gift of freedom. Most necessary guidance for freedom is delicate and a subtle gift, easily perverted and often squandered. Isn't that awesome? I'd like to be as smart as that guy one day. All right. So Galatians is about our emancipation. But as free people, how do we live? How do we live? How do we make just decisions about our normal life now that we are free people? All right. So talks about what freedom is and what it is not. All right. It talks about really that there are two ditches in this wonderful road of freedom. One is the one ditch is that we can add to the work of Jesus for our redemption. So you're saved when you cut off your dreadlocks or put on a red coat or a blue coat. Everybody's got a different color, right? You're saved when that happens. That really makes you an awesome Christian. Or the other ditch on the road is that it doesn't matter how we live. All right? If we love Jesus, we can dress like a prostitute. And yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, and you're going to have a really hard life. And you are not glorifying Jesus. All right? He is not shining through you. Amen. That is not the character of your Father. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So one says you got to do stuff to be saved. The other ditch says, you can just do anything and God doesn't care. He still loves you. Both are false. Both are unbiblical. And Galatians is going to help us to drive on our gospel road without falling into ditches. Because how many know ditches are dangerous? Okay, people die when they go in ditches, all right? So, the Judaizers did what they did because it was in their culture. Galatians will also help us to examine why we really believe what we do, all right? Somebody said culture is what it's what we believe without thinking about it, all right? It's what we consider to be normal. Everyone all over the world grows up in a certain culture, their family, and obviously there are different nuances of what that looks like. And it's my opinion that when you look at all the cultures around the world, there are certain things in every culture that it seems like they are already biblical. They didn't come from the Bible, but they're good. And in fact, you can find them in the Bible. So I grew up in a culture where you work hard, you give it your best, all right? And you finish the job. Well, my parents didn't quote the Bible. They didn't get it from the Bible. But when I got born again, I realized, oh, that's actually in the Bible. All right. In Zambia, there's an honoring of elders, honoring of authority, right? People don't necessarily learn it from the Bible. All right. You learn it from your parents. You go over to the Bible and you go, huh, how about that? It's actually in the Bible. All right. In Zambia, it is awesome that in the culture, marriage is defined by one man, one woman. That's in the culture. All right. Hallelujah. We're going to resist that Western garbage. And you should. All right. That one woman and one woman equals a marriage. Okay. But what I'd ask you to do is if you find something in your culture that comes from the Bible, make sure you put your foundation of that belief on the Word of God and not your culture. Because I hate to tell you, your culture is changing. All right. I'm telling you, as a 10-year-old American growing up, I would have never in my wildest dreams believed that Congress, the Supreme Court, presidents, governors, everyone now believes that marriage is whoever you want to be married to. It is the new culture of America. It has changed. And probably in my lifetime, it will never change back. Never. Okay? So, that part of culture radically changed, didn't it? All right? But guess what? Yes, I have an American passport, but I'm from the kingdom of heaven. And I don't care what the government says. I care what God says. And so I'm going to preach to you and I'm going to preach to everybody that at Miracle Life, we're going to marry one man and one woman. God made marriage. He defined marriage. And so he gets to determine its parameters. Amen. No, but I'm not sure about that. I would encourage you, read your Bible. Well, that's not what they say on CNN. Well, CNN doesn't use the Bible. BBC doesn't use the Bible. Al Jazeera doesn't use the Bible. That's not their basis of truth. We're from another kingdom. Amen. Then there's part of our culture that's just neutral. All right. The colors that we like and what we do at a wedding and the food that we eat. Right. And so it just kind of it's a cool part of our identity. It makes us feel like, this reminds me of my childhood. I feel home. I feel connected to my family. And those things are awesome. And boy, I'd encourage you to keep them. Pass those kind of neutral things on to your kids. But in every culture, there's also unbiblical things. The culture thinks it's normal. God calls it a sin. Okay, so I grew up as an American. And so part of being American means you are full of pride and ego. It's not a sin.
It's American. Hallelujah. Rambo, give me a gun and I'll take over a country. You know? American.
And then we try to make the Bible justify it. You can't justify pride. You can't justify egotism. Another part of American culture is materialism. Covetousness. Always wanting more stuff and bigger screen TVs and just stuff. Well, the Bible says, whoa, that's not okay.
Yeah, but I'm American. I can have 5 TVs. I can't pay for any of them, but I can have them. It's my right as an American.
No, repent, change your culture. Amen. And so in Zambia, there's certain parts of the culture that are anti-Bible. Like some parts of culture, it's okay for a spouse to hit their spouse. Oh, Pastor, you understand. That's Zambia. I'm raising them up like a child. No, the Bible calls it a sin. You're attacking my Zambian culture. Oh, absolutely. With a bazooka. And I'm not even going to be subtle about it. Repent from your unbiblical culture and believe the Bible. All of it? No, of course not all of it. The part that is sinful. Hmm? Oh, you want me to go farther? Yes, I know you do. All right. It's not really a lie if my heart is right. As long as I'm doing it out of kindness towards you. You know, the Bible says, lie not to one another. Lie not. There's no good reason to lie. There's no good reason to be false, to misrepresent the truth. Amen. Property grabbing from a widow. Yeah. From the husband's family.
Well, it's our stuff.
No, no, no. The Bible doesn't say it's your stuff. When a man marries a woman, they're in covenant. They're in covenant. And covenant means everything becomes one. Amen. Now, I would encourage you, men and women, have a will that reflects the Bible. Not the demands of your uncle. Yeah. Having a will is not bad luck.
but it means I might die.
Yes, you are going to die. Just prepare for it. Get ready for it. As T.D. Jakes would say, get ready, get ready, get ready. Otherwise, you're going to start World War III while you're in heaven. Yeah. Amen. So what does the Bible say about this? Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, or I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world. The Greek says, don't let it pressure you into its mold. How many of the world is pressuring us? It wants us to behave in a certain way. Listen to this from the New Living Translation. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. See, this is not Pastor Walker. This is the Holy Ghost. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. See, I need to think different about money than what America materialism taught me. I need to think differently about money. I need to think differently about marriage than what Hollywood is telling me. Don't let it conform you. All right. Then you will learn to know God's will for your life, which is good and pleasing and perfect. All right. And please understand, you don't learn God's ways from your culture. You learn culture from your culture. And what did we say? Sometimes it's biblical. Sometimes it's neutral. Doesn't really matter. But sometimes it's against the Bible. And so we have to use the Word of God to determine what is God's way. And really the whole kingdom of God is God is teaching us a new culture. All right. That doesn't come from a country. It comes from heaven. Remember Jesus said this over and over and over again. You've heard it said. What is that? Culture. What I believe to be true. You've heard it said, but I say unto you. But I say unto you. Who says? Jesus says. Jesus says. You've heard it said, have a spare tire. Have a girl on the side. I mean, a man is a man. Well, if you want to find a religion that allows that, you become a Muslim. They'll allow you to do that. You won't make heaven. Oop, was I supposed to say that or not? Uh-oh. So you've heard it said, but I say unto you, but I say unto you, be the husband of one wife. One wife. Love her like Jesus. Be faithful to her like Jesus. Amen. Well, but that's not the culture. Actually, it's not the culture pretty much of anywhere in the world now. Unfortunately. Well, guess what? I resist the culture. I resist them trying to form me. And I believe Jesus. I believe the Bible. I change my mind. Listen to it from the Message Bible. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Whew. Without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. Please do what I do. Reject bad Western culture. Amen. And reject neutral Western culture. Jesus, deliver us from the tie. Technically, it's neutral. It came from the West, but oh my gosh. It's basically the same as a noose, you know? Who will deliver me from this, you know? But think about it. See, all these influences that have come from the outside and the inside and from my family and everywhere where they're coming from. What do? I submit all of them to the Word of God. See, the Judaizers couldn't do it. They just said, we're Jews and you're going to not eat pork. And there is no way that you can be born again without being circumcised. They just wouldn't let go of how they were raised, that they thought was normal. Don't do this without thinking. Put your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to the level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, can you see that this is God's word? Amen. And all of us, regardless of, and we've got 30 different nations represented in this church, more than that, all of us have to submit what we believe to be right or normal, and we submit it to the word of God. And if we don't see it, then that's fine. Amen. Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about Matabetu. Well, then just keep doing it. That's cool. Amen. Hallelujah. Right? Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about the Kuabokasari. Then do it. Amen. Be a paddler for Jesus. That's awesome. It's not bad. It's not good. All right? So just do it. All right? But then those places where we're on the inside, that we hold these things to be true, and we come to the Word of God and I go, I don't like that. Well, guess what? God is not changing the Bible for you. Okay. So what happens too often, folks, is we take, instead of submitting our whole life and our whole mind to the Word of God, sometimes what we do is we just go ahead and continue to think and live in a worldly way. And what we do is we take Bible sprinkling and we put it on top. Okay. So what happens sometimes, so people are sometimes intrinsically materialistic and greedy and stuff. And so then they kind of go over to the Bible and they say, wow, God actually says He'll provide for you. He cares about your food. He cares about your clothing. And He's your good Father and He'll provide for you. Yay. I'm going to use the Bible to enable my materialism. Whoa. No. You kick out everything else and you build your life on the rock. You build your life on the rock of God's word. Amen. You don't try to make the Bible say what you want it to say. Amen. We don't add the Bible onto our worldly mindset. We start with a brand new foundation. Brand new foundation. Amen. The Bible is not chili sauce that you add on top of your culture. Whenever you want to get well, whenever you want money, and whenever you want a breakthrough. Mm-mm-mm. No, we abide in Jesus. We abide in Him. His words abide in us. And what we see with the disciples and Peter and even these apostles that he's picked is, man, sometimes this takes a while. Sometimes there's a resistance, all right? Why did James and John hate the Samaritans? Because their parents hated the Samaritans. They learned to have that hatred and that us and them, those people. They learned that. That was part of their culture. But they had to reject it. They had to listen to the rebuke of Jesus. to say, look, we're not about destroying men's lives. And I'm so glad that John, he tried to kill the Samaritans, but then in Acts chapter 8, he went down and helped them receive the Holy Ghost, laid hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost. Tell your neighbor, you can change. You can change. Whether we change or not is entirely up to us. It's up to us. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's build our life on the Word of God. All right. Well, I apologize. I didn't get to Galatians. You were just listening far too well today. All right. But let's at least read the first couple chapter, first couple verses to say that we started. All right. Galatians 1. All right. Galatians 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God, to whom be glory forever and ever. And so Paul is making this introduction. And in this introduction, there's a couple things that we're going to see him build a case over the next chapters. One is that he's an apostle from God. All right. His authority is coming from God. It's not coming from just that he self-appointed himself. All right. And how many of you know that the authority in our life is the Word of God? The Word of God. Amen. Jesus being the head of the church. All right. But then he talks about how that we are saved. We are delivered. All right. By God. And so he's going to make an incredible case of what our salvation looks like and what it incorporates. All right. And that we would guard this and keep this deeply in our heart. Amen. Amen. As we close, I just had this in my heart. Jesus said, build your life on the rock. Build your life on the rock. Then when the storms of life come, guess what? The house stands. Right? If you build your life on sand, right? If you build your marriage on your unsaved auntie's advice, he made you mad. So you go make him mad. You show him who's boss. He's never going to give you any money. So just take some money. Go get a plot yourself. You don't need to tell him about it. That's sinful. That's outside of the covenant. Amen. He cheated on you. You show him you still got it. Yeah. All those guys interested you at work. Yeah, let him see some of those texts. Give him some of his own medicine. Okay? You build your life on the sand. Guess what? When the storms come, bye-bye marriage. Bye-bye business. The storms of life come for all people. They're coming. The storms of life come. And what will cause your life to stand is what you determine to build it upon. The rock of the authority of Jesus, the authority of his word, or sand. Sand. That means it comes and it goes. All right. And worldly thinking, what the world considers normal, whether that's Johannesburg or Lusaka or Nairobi or Washington, D.C., what the world considers normal, who cares? That's sand. I'm not going to build my life on the sand, because when the storm comes, I won't last. I won't make it. And I want to implore you by the Spirit of God. Some of you, the trouble that you're facing in your life today is because you chose the wrong building material. You chose the wrong building material when you did your foundation. This building will last a long time because we built it on a compacted foundation They went down deep. There's a lot of this building that you don't see, but it'll still be here in 100 years. It's not the paint of the building that makes it sturdy. It's the foundation. Amen. And some of you have been so worried kind of about the tiles and the paint and how you look. But you've built your life on a faulty foundation. But here's the good thing. You can go back and change the foundation. Build it on the rock. Build it on Jesus Christ. Build a new foundation for your marriage. Build a new foundation for your business. Your business is not so you can live a blinged out life. It's to honor God. It's to glorify God. It's to serve customers. It's to, what the Bible says, to create wealth, to build something of significance. So you can change your foundation. Amen. Or we'll watch your house be swept away by the floods. And we'll still love you. Amen. We'll pat you on the hand. But it will be because of the decisions that you made. Oh, but my mama won't like that. Yeah, neither did my parents. When I decided to build my life on the rock, when I decided to build my marriage on the rock, when I decided to build my finances and my future and all of the purposes of God on the rock, oh yeah, relatives went crazy. But I discovered something from the Bible that's very significant. When I die, all of us are going to die in Christ. We won't be judged by, you know, it'll be because we went through Jesus. All right. But our works will be tried by fire. We'll give an account of what we did with this body, of every word that we said. What I discovered in the Bible was that when I give an account to Jesus, my grandfather will not be there. My dad won't be there. Not with Jesus. Not when I give an account, not when I look at the Savior in the face. Amen. And if you're so worried about people, then you're living under the fear of man. And it's a snare. It's a snare. But here's the cool thing. It's a snare you can get out of. Amen. Build your life on the rock. Build your life on the rock. Build your life on the rock. Oh, but Pastor, I've got to get married in 12 months or my family's going to kill me. Let them scream. And break up with your ungodly boyfriend. Living in an ungodly marriage is more hell than your auntie can ever put you through. Okay, well, we're running out of time. I'm sure you're glad about that. All right. Can we let God deal with our heart right now? There's some things I know. I need to change some foundations. I need to dig deeper on the rock of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Every Christian in this place, just put your hand on your heart. Say, God, you saved me. You sent Jesus. And if there are things that I don't see, help me to see them in the light of your word, in the light of your truth. And God, I make a decision. Every area of my life, every part of it, I build on the rock. Not on customs, not on traditions, not on culture, not on what the world says is okay, but based on your word. Father, I'll dig deep. Oh, thank you, Father, that my house will be strong. It will stand the test of time. It will grow tall. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me, that I'm your child. You never give up on me. Thank you that you're building a holy habitation in my life. Be glorified. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Christians, right now, with your heads bowed, eyes closed, just expect the Holy Spirit just to begin to show you some things. Just to begin to show you some things that how that plays out and what that looks like in your life. And while you're praying, I want to ask anyone in this room, if your life is not built on Jesus, it will be swept away. It will be swept away. And you cannot build it on religion. You cannot build it on a tradition or a hope that, well, I was baptized as a baby. You've got to build your foundation on the fact that Jesus Christ is your Lord and He is your Savior. We're all going to die. We're all not going to live forever. And when we do, the Bible says it's real clear, then there will be a judgment, a decision that God is going to make about the destiny of your soul. The Bible is clear. There are two places. There's a place called heaven. And it's beautiful and it is wonderful. And the most important thing about it is that's where God is. God is there. And He's made it possible for you to spend all of eternity with Him. There's another place and it's called hell. It wasn't created for you. It was created for the devil and for demons. The worst thing about hell, God is not there. Separated from ever from the life of God. It's horrible and it's forever. God doesn't want you to go there. But see, you can't trust on your religious background. You can't trust upon the fact that, you know, most days you're better, you're more good than you're bad. But the good news is even if you know, I'm not a good person, I've done a lot of wrong things, you can still make heaven your home because of what Jesus did for you. He made the way. He is the door to God. He is the door to heaven. The other part of this good news is that when you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, earth can be a lot like heaven. God's your Father. He'll care for you. His presence will come to live inside of you. He'll help you through every difficulty. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll walk with you through this life's journey and He'll make you a brand new person. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need that. I need to walk through that doorway called Jesus. I need to be born again. I'm tired of trusting on unstable things. I'm tired of running from God. Or maybe you're a backslidden Christian whose life is a mess. Oh, but you can come home to your Father today. He'll wash and cleanse you. If that's you, what I'd ask you to do is lift up your hand. Say, Pastor, I'm going to pray that prayer today. I'm going to make Jesus my Lord, my Savior. Just lift it up real, real high. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go through another day of hell on earth. He'll love you. He'll help you. We'll pray and Jesus will be your Lord and Savior. Anybody? We want to give you that opportunity. Boy, don't leave here having said no to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice, Father, who's battling with this decision, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to reveal Jesus to them, continue to unfold your love to them, and Father, that they'll make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's all stand to our feet.